I'm Dave Wiesdock, Sage of Creative Scaffolding.
And I'm Jen West, Professional Rebel of Delight.
And this is Shadow Casting. Hey, Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Dave. How about yourself?
Doing really well. I'm excited about the topic we're going to play with today.
Oh, you said play in a way that makes me think we're going to stick to that topic today.
Yeah, so I thought today we would play with this idea of work and play and really explore what play looks like and why we in this shadow cast feel like this is such an important topic to play with and to discuss.
I agree so much with that. It's almost like if you don't have this deeper understanding of play, you can't shadow cast.
Yeah. And really there's an energy behind it, right? Like when I say play, you and I have talked about that and it's become so ingrained in my vocabulary, so entrenched in how I think that it has become unconscious. But when you listen to that podcast on play and that quote, I realized that there's so much context and complexity to those topics. It's not so superficial of a concept. And because it was a quote podcast and it was a little shorter, I feel like we gave it kind of that teaser, but I'd really like to do a deep dive into play. And one of the first things that comes to mind when I think about play, again, is that energy behind it. When you think of a kid playing on the playground, there's a devoted energy to it. There is a seriousness, but it's not quite serious. It's more like a sincere energy. Like they are putting their whole being into what they're doing, whether it's playing on the monkey bars, going up and down the slide, playing on the seesaw, playing imagination with their friends. I think about my own childhood and there was a playground literally 10 feet behind my house. I mean, it was right there in my backyard, basically. And when we would play, there was a certain dedication to whatever game we were playing. We had this big setup, and so we pretend it was like a pirate ship and we were pirates on the sea, and once everyone got in their character, almost everyone was all on board, no pun intended, all on board this imaginary ship. And there was a sincerity behind it. And I think as we get older, we sometimes get into this trap of morphing that sincerity into seriousness. It's no longer, hey, I need you on board with this idea. It's you have to be on board with this idea. There's this energy of lack. I think that there's this duality that exists within the energy of play, and it's that seriousness and that sincerity. And so when we look at the seriousness energy, that's often not very lighthearted. There's not a lot of joking. The body language, and especially in Shadowcast, you're going to hear us talk a lot about how that feels in the body when we sit in that energy, what that feels like. And so when you're sitting in that serious energy, it's very tight, very tense. You know, you have the jaw clenched, the shoulders up, maybe you get the migraines. and it's very outcome focused. Again, going to that pirate ship example, when we're playing as pirates on this imaginary ship in the playground, that's it. Maybe we go on an adventure and find treasure. Maybe we fight other pirates. It's a continuous game that is an outcome based. When we lean into that serious energy, there's a focus, you know, there's a deadline to hit. There's a project that has to be completed. And often what happens is as you get into that tight, tense energy where that kind of light joviality disappears, you can even feel it as I talk about it. Like there's this sinking energy. It's not generative. It's not playful. It doesn't actually create what people think it's trying to create. It kind of gets very systematic. And so often when we are being serious, we kind of throw expectations onto other people where they have to almost abide by what we're dishing out versus that kind of playful energy of, hey, maybe I'm the pirate captain and maybe someone else wants to be the pirate captain, and you kind of alternate the roles and there's this ping-ponging back and forth. And what ends up happening is you create something even greater because it's not solely focused on one person's vision. And so there kind of becomes this energy of like, this is serious and you have to listen to me. And what happens from that is as we get older, that sincere energy of wanting to play and maybe wanting to be a specific role starts to turn into this serious energy where everything has to be done in a black and white way, a right and correct way. And especially leaning into my own Enneagram type one, which is very right and wrong focused, you know, this serious energy is just like home to me, right? That is something that I was comfortable in, something that I was and needed almost to operate in this world. I had to, my brain had to move, my mind had to move from this playful energy to this serious energy. And for me, it kind of happened a little bit at a younger age. I was 21 and managing a business that was pulling in $1 million a year, which for a 21-year-old is a lot to manage. And it's funny because to get to that position, I did play in this sincere energy. It was a little bit more imaginative, even in my 20s. But then as the expectations came and the seriousness came and what was right and wrong came to me and with these responsibilities, I started leaning more into like this competitive energy. And then everyone was tense around me. And, you know, I would have these struggling relationships. And so I think what happens is as we lean into this serious energy, it does tend to get very, I think that's a great word for it, is competitive. It's play is not competitive. It's cooperative. And so I really think that play can lead to seriousness or sincerity. And going back to what we talked about in our first podcast with that kind of shadow casting, that long shadow, it comes down to the object. How are you portraying that energy out into the world? Are you setting this right and wrong in this box? You know, failure isn't acceptable, competitive energy. Or are you leaning into more of a sincere energy that's more opened and caring about both your energy and the other person's energy? And are you being true to yourself? Are you focused on cooperativeness? Are you leaning into creativity and curiosity? One of the big play energies that comes from me is the curiosity. You know, I always ask a question and go, I'm just curious. And why did you say it that way? What made you choose those word choices? What made you lean into that perspective? And what's funny is a lot of people want to tell you what they think, but not why they think it. And it's because I feel, especially in the business setting, it's they were told by their boss or they've learned over time, they were kind of indoctrinated into this belief that it has to be done this way. And the minute someone just kind of gently pokes or nudges and goes, hey, let's put a little more sincere energy in that. Like, tell me why you feel this way. Tell me why we're going down this route. It almost like breaks the whole system because all it needs is a question. And then you are almost, I don't want to say forced, but guided towards this energy of, oh, okay, it's not competitive. I don't have to prove my point. I have to share. And then this cooperative energy comes from that. And it starts to build this energy of trust and creativity. And then you start to go, okay, well, so-and-so taking again a business setting, you know, my boss told me that I have to do it this way because that's how it's always been done. You know, in the business world, everyone hears that a lot. And then it's like, okay, but how do you feel about that? Well, I agree with my boss, except or and. I think if we just made this one tweet, it can make a really big difference for the company. And it's like, okay, well, what makes you think about that? And so then you start to like build this picture of play. And it's kind of fun because it, going back to that pirate example, it's not, okay, well, whoever was playing as captain at the time told me to do this. It's like, okay, well, their turn's up. What do you want to do with your turn? How do you want to play? Do you want to go fight a ship because you were told to? Or do you want to go plunder treasure? Maybe that's more fun. And then you start to kind of build trust within yourself too. So I really think that, you know, as you start to lean into that sincere energy, you're almost forced to look inward. It takes you inward, but not in a selfish way. It's almost a reevaluation. And so then there kind of becomes this quest or this mental state of, okay, well, where else can I improve, or where else can I get better, or how else can things change? And you can hear it in the word choices too, change, creativity, improvement, with that sincere energy versus that kind of serious energy of right and wrong and working hard. And here's the funny thing too, to me, is that I don't think either is bad. Again, if I were to say serious energy is wrong, then that is using serious energy to describe it. Where I think the play and where we're going to get into this work versus play, as we were talking about in the quote, is learning the balancing act and kind of walking that tightrope between both. And that's a challenge. So what are your thoughts on that, Jen?
Yeah, no, all of that. I just wanted to lean into your exploring a pirate ship and being there. I had a cousin, and whenever we would get together, we'd play on a trampoline. And it was like from Star Trek, the holodeck. And we'd just create all these worlds and we'd be bouncing around. And sometimes we'd use the trampoline as part of the theme. You know, it'd be like, oh, since we can jump so high, we must be in a low gravity planet or something, you know? So, but the game never had any rules and the characters would change and morph. And one of the great things that happened for us was we'd make characters that were too overpowered. So we started playing this game where we'd give them some skills and some weaknesses so that as we went along, there was just more to the story. But the goal wasn't to win or lose. It was like, how long can we keep our story? And I think that's a big part of the sincere energy. It's like, what can we create and how do we keep it going instead of that competitive energy where it's, how do I win? Because once you're in a win mode, you're in that outcome focus. And outcome focus, you forget how to get there. But when you're in a sincere energy, you're looking at what are the causes that bring about that thing that I'm hoping to get to. And it normally gets there in a more interesting way because you're not stuck in a really tight focus of where it is. There's one line. You can wind in and out, back and forth, up and down. Yeah, I love it so much. It's just, it's interesting with play. I find that with play, you really can only live in a more sincere energy with play, unless it's a sport. If you're playing a sport and there is a win and loss, then you can be serious. But if you're in play like child's play, it necessitates sincerity. Work, on the other hand, can be in either of those spaces. You can be the serious work that's really tight and tense and it must be done a certain way, or it can be in a sincere way. And then those two start to blend together and that just changes the dynamic.
Yeah. And I really like that blending together, because I think that's what we're building towards. When you dissect a topic, you always kind of have to create this, again, duality or this kind of composition of one versus another to kind of build the picture. But really, true play, I think, is a blend of these energies. You know, there's that ability to create a focus or a play based on what's happening around you. And it kind of brings to mind a quote by someone named L.P. Jacks. And I have it right here, actually. The quote is, "A master in the art of living draws no sharp distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence through whatever he is doing, and he leaves others to determine whether he is working or playing. To himself, he always appears to be doing both."
Yeah, Dave, you just pulled one of my very favorite quotes of all time. I just love how if you've mastered the art of living, people can't tell if you're working or playing. And that's just like, talk about a paradigm shift. And I guess I should just put in a warning. You may have a paradigm shift in your life right now if you start living this work and play come together and you have an amazing life.
Yeah. True living is the ability to put your whole essence into what you're doing in that moment. Whether it's work or play is up to, again, like the quote says, the observer, the person watching you. If you are being sincere in your energy, that's what matters. And so to each individual observer, that could look different, right? To you, when you and I talk about things, that can look like play. But to someone on the outside that maybe is really in that tense or serious energy, or has to win, what we do might even look whimsical or fantastical, you know? But that doesn't mean that it's not even more efficient or productive or, God, I don't even want to say it, but even better than leaning into the serious energy. But here's the thing. Here's where I really like this art of living, because for me, as again, a type one, and I use this a lot, I used to lean into schedules and spreadsheets and black and white. And I say used to, and I still do. So, you know, there's still some play for me, but
yeah, we know you love your spreadsheet.
I do love my spreadsheets. And as you and I start to talk about play, it's how can I use that as play? As a dad of two, it's okay, I could be the really strict parent that gives the chore charts and the discipline and the organization, and kids need that. And they need play too. So how do we make those things fun? And it can be little things too, like as we're cleaning the house, we're blasting music, or as we work together as a team to get a project done around the house, how can we make that fun? Can we make jokes, or can we use that as an opportunity to connect? You know, a lot of studies show these days that everyone's glued to their phone and that we're all dialed in, and we've never, as a culture, especially in America, felt more alone or felt more distance from people. So how do we play with that? When we were kids, going again to those examples that you and I were talking about, there was an interaction there, and it was a physical interaction, even more so than the interaction you and I are having right now via face chat. Like, we were in the same room. We were locking eyes with each other. We were feeling that energy. To me, that was living. Like, when we can lock into each other's energy and co-create something together, that's that sweet spot. To me, finding ways, again, to balance or bring both energies and in a playful and co-creative way, like, that's really where that art of living happens, because then you're not working and you're not playing. You're doing something entirely different. You're living life. You're in the moment. And to me, that's a real great way to celebrate our humanity, you know, like leaning into the shadow cast.
Oh, I feel that energy so much. I was just thinking about at one point before I had my son, we painted his bedroom and got it all ready for the new baby that was coming. And some friends of mine came in to help me get that room set up. And their energy was, let's efficiently get this room painted. And they were working hard. They were serious about it. They were kind. We were kind of talking, but it was an energy of efficiency and outcome. And it wasn't that much fun. Like, we were there together. I mean, they're amazing. They were great. But this was an efficiency. I'm helping you get a task finished. Then later I was working on my basement with my mom, and we were painting that all up. And that energy, we were painting the baseboard and it's dark brown. And we thought, that's going to be easy to paint over the white and you got dark brown. No, it took 3 coats. But it wasn't about how quickly we could get it done. It was just like, how are we moving through this? And how funny is it that how many coats are we going to need? Like 100 coats to get this stupid baseboard? And why is the baseboard so big? You know, it's like, why can't it be a little one? And the work was still important. We didn't stop. It was still getting done, but the energy of it just felt more inviting, more connected. Like, we were working together and we were connected and we were really just in it. And certain events, I know whenever I talk with you, Dave, that's the same energy. We can be working on something really hard and that energy still has that experiment, that connection, that getting together versus some other people that I'll talk to work related, and it's just getting to the outcome and they're not really thinking of other ways and they just want it done. You can even do it with dishes, partners washing dishes. If one's just like, try it, the other one's like, let's talk and have a relationship. Yeah, it's different.
It is. And that's not to say that this in itself isn't. It's funny because play is so effortless to kids. And now we're doing a podcast on how to go almost back to that energy. And because I was going to say, oh, it's hard to play. It's not hard to play. We've just forgotten. We've let adult responsibilities and fear and deadlines and expectations dictate the play. We're still playing. I mean, honestly, for example, at work, when I use my spreadsheets, everyone goes, oh my gosh, this spreadsheet was so helpful. Or they call it the Dave magic, this ability to distill information and not only put it in a way that is appealing, but also that's useful and able to be manipulated to create a point or to help illustrate a point. But here's the funny thing. That's play for me. They go, I don't know how you figure. I taught myself a lot of my own skills. I didn't get a yet. I didn't go to school to get an MBA. I got an associate's in business. But really, a lot of the stuff that I learned was because it was play for me. It was fun to learn business. It was fun to figure out how to make a formula work exactly how you need it to be able to create a result that can help a business make a decision. And it's funny to me because what I find for myself is when I lean into play, the people in that meeting or around me in that instance have no choice but to lean in. Because if they're relying on me to create that outcome, again, they're in that serious energy because to them, they're in work. To me, I'm living. I'm not working or playing. They can maybe see it as play if I am treating it a little bit lighter or a little bit more jovial than they are. But to me, I'm just like, I'm leaning into that energy of, well, what can we create here? What else is possible?
For sure. Yeah, I get kind of want to go into like the energy of an office, like you can't play at work. And I think there's a distinction that still needs, remember, the energy of sincerity. And when you're sincere, you're not flippant. You're not sarcastic. You're not
dismissive.
You're really leaning into an idea. And it feels like you're still in work, but it's not a tight energy. And that's the difference because it really is focused. And I'd like to take this all the way back to the very beginning for me, because I had a real block between work and play. I had decided that when I was working, it was serious. And I need to have that outward look on how important this thing is. Stuff that I enjoyed doing or found easy to do was not allowed to be work because it wasn't hard enough. And then I had a child and I put that child in Montessori school and he was one. He had just turned one and school was a little different, but Montessori was created around following the child, and children want to do what adults do. So they want to sweep and they want to clean and they want to help do dishes and they want to eat with forks and spoons, even when they're tiny. That's when I learned the concept of a child's play is their work. And it blew my mind. I'm like, wait a minute, that's their work? And they are totally sincere. If you watch a small child doing art, they are in it. And if you stay out of the way, they'll spend hours making different paintings and getting different things. And in this Montessori setting, some of the stuff they did was they'd have like this wood sculpture thing and they would polish it. And so they'd get the polish out and they get their little rag and then they just polish and they'd work on it for like 20 minutes. And then they'd put their rag away and put their little polish away and take their wood statue back to its place. And it's what they wanted to do. It was their play. It's not because they had to. It's because it's what they wanted to do. It rose from inside them. And at some point, we want so much validation. We want so much validation from the outside that we try to present ourselves and do things that everybody else wants us to do. And we forget our inner drive, our purpose, what we're here to give. And that's when play filters away, is because we've lost our inner light that comes out.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's a great example, Jen. I really like that. And I'd like to add to it too. And here's the thing that jumped out at me. You kind of brought up this need of validation, but also you talked about like how they want to learn how to use forks and spoons or learn how to sweep. And you said it comes out from inside them. And here's the thing. Yes and no to me, because they at least got the context clue from somewhere. They saw mom and dad using the fork and spoon. They saw mom or dad sweeping. You know, they saw a visual, they saw someone that they respect and trust and look up to doing something that they've only seen them do. And so they want to mimic that because that's how they learn to interact in their environment. And I think that's a big part of play. Yes, play is their work, because right now their work is learning how to live.
100%.
And here's where I'm going with this too. If you extrapolate that inner drive that you were talking about, that rising from within, I don't think that goes away. right? Even as adults, we still have people that we look up to and respect, but it's in a different setting. Maybe it's not just our parents now, or not just our family members, and even not just our friends. Now it's listening to podcasts from authors and speakers and life hack gurus. And so we start to expand the picture of this internal drive of how we want our play and work to look like. And I think being adults, sometimes we misidentify what that needs to be, because we go, oh, okay, so-and-so who I respect and look up to just said that this is how I need to live my life. And it's like, okay, well, pause a second. You know, is that your work? Is that your play? When you're a kid, there is no filter there. You're just trying to play and work in everything that you see, whether that is sweeping or the kids that take the Play-Doh and try to make burgers out of them. You know, you got to pretend to eat them. We almost need to like lean back into that a little bit, right? To get out of that judgment. One of the things that comes to mind that you and I talk about is that I have this saying of win or learn, never lose. It's not win and lose, it's win and learn. No matter what we're doing, there's an energy of either I kind of succeeded at this task or I learned a lot. And oftentimes when I'm learning is where the growth really happens, going back to kind of how that sincere energy creates growth and improvement. One of the things I kind of wanted or was hoping you'd lean or talk more about, Jen, is that paradigm shift. So as we're starting to talk about this kind of sincere and serious energy and how this art of living is kind of outside of work and play, what did you mean by paradigm shift, and what could that look like for our audience and our listeners?
So I have to just backtrack just a little, because you got me totally in when we were talking about play. And I have to come back to the person who created Shadows and Shadowness, Ariel Appel. When I was first looking into play and how to adapt it for adults and really do the paradigm shift, I started asking him, because he has that different look of the tribal and animals play. And when they're young, they play so that they can learn how to survive as adults. And I said, what is play? And he riffed for a few minutes, and then he finally got it to a definition. And so he said, play is an exploration of possibilities and limits. And it's really finding our boundary and then pushing them. So
that's crazy. That's
awesome. I know Ariel's an amazing dude. His brain just works in the coolest way. If we're really looking at shadow casting and looking into ourselves and how we project that shadow out and leave, our goal is to leave a positive, empowering shadow on the people we interact with. We want that to carry them for years, even if they don't even realize it. Just something through our interactions and stuff stick, whether it just be this idea of play or anything. And so the paradigm shift is really moving into that new energy. When I go into any project, one, am I experiencing it for me? Is it coming out of me because I care? Whether it's doing just work around the house, yes, I got to make my bed and I need to vacuum the house and do the laundry. There's something internal that makes you want to do it. That's where you want to get to. It's sincere. You want your house organized. Right. You know, and just have that space. I love when my house is clean. I don't really like to clean it. I love it when it's clean. And so my inner being wants that space that feels more peaceful. So that's the first part of really turning it. And it becomes play when you actually want it, when it's not because somebody else told you to, or you feel resentful, or you're going to be judged by somebody because you're a filthy person. It's because you're like, I need that reprieve. I want my space better. I want clean clothes, whatever it is. I'm a pretty flowy person. And there's one thing that I do in an OCD way, and that's mowing my lawn. Those lines are like baseball fields. And it's the only thing that I do it on. I like them diagonal, and then I like them straight. And one time my son mowed it and he did circles around our planter and it looks so cool. So now that's my thing. I do circles every once in a while, but the lines, I get the tires to match up with the lines. It's the only thing I do that really has to be But that's, yeah. I have pictures of the lines where I'm like, Dave's laughing at me. But yeah, so that comes out of me. It's not because somebody else would see it, although people like my lines. One of the things, I got the biggest compliment, and he didn't even know it was a huge compliment, because the kid from across the street, he's like, I love how you mow your lawn, because it looks like something magical happened where you like somehow mowed through your planter. Because I make it so the lines match up, even though there's a planter in the way, because I've always wanted to be a Jedi, that I use the force and lifted the planter above and then mowed underneath it and then put the planter back down. You know, and this is the energy you want to live in. And the paradigm shift is when you start going, why am I so tight about this? And is it serving me? And then you can kind of like let your shoulders drop and just sit there for a second and be like, yeah, it's really important. Why?
Yeah.
So that entire story is really a way to just settle into, why does this tighten me up? What inside me? This is the exploration of that shadow going within. There's something inside of us that's either feeling judged or like there's only one right way to do it. Or I want other people to know how important this is to me. So I have to be tight and tense about it. And the importance comes from just how much you love it.
Yeah.
And that's when people see that. And I think that's the energy that shadow casting provides on ourselves so that we can give it out. Yes, it's very important, whatever it is that we're passionate about or we value or we have principles around, but they don't have to be tight and condensed. They have to be, well, since I'm a rebel of delight, delighted in and expressed through your joy of doing it, from your importance, from your purpose of it.
Yes. Yep. Honestly, this is one of those points where I don't have anything to add because I think that just so succinctly just chef's kiss on that. However, you did bring up one really cool thing that I'd like to run through with the audience, just a quick exercise, because I think what I'm realizing with how you're sharing this is that, and it's funny to me because I'm going to say this and you're going to go, well, duh, Dave, but play is different for everyone. And there's different ways to approach it. Play as a mindset is something that's very kind of keystone to for you. And I'm kind of thinking about extrapolating a bit here about like the Enneagram centers, right? There's a mind, body, heart center. I think, especially for our audience, play might resonate to them differently, and how they lean into that play might resonate differently. For you and I, play is kind of that mindset and that paradigm shift kind of within, and how we talk about things like mowing the lawn or trying to be a Jedi to lift the planter. You know, there was a lot of fun and joviality with that. And I can just kind of hear the audience going, okay, well, what if, you know, that mind kind of like starting to resist a bit where we're going with this play. So what I'd like to do is almost take the mind out of it for a second. And at the very beginning, I talked about how that serious energy can appear in the body. Play can also be relaxing the body, right? Like getting out of that, because your energy is, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, right? It just shifts. And so if your energy is in the serious energy, maybe let's play in how can we get into the sincere? And if you can't quite shift the mindset yet, what other ways can you lean into shifting that energy? And it's so simple, not simple. It is simple. It's playful. There's a way that you can do that by leaning into the body. And I think kind of leaning into that chiropractic training I have, it's how can we like hijack the nervous system a bit, right? If there's that mind-body connection and we can't really access play from the mind, how can we access it from the body? And there's a couple ways that come to mind. You know, one example is, I can't think of his name right now. Maybe I'll look it up and add it to the show notes, but there's a guy that talks about animal play, right? He was really big on TED Talks and how moving like a bear or a rabbit creates mobility within the body. But here's the kicker, it's play. We used to do those movements as kids without calling it names and making it this structured thing. But now we almost have to, because we have to force or create the play. But really the point I'm getting to is like, okay, how can we get into play within the body? And it's, okay, taking a couple deep breaths and really sinking our energy into the gut, or it's feeling the tiny little muscles around our eyes and kind of almost willing them to relax or softening them and unclenching the jaw and taking a couple more deep breaths and relaxing the shoulders. And yeah, that creates a sense of relaxation. But now re-listen to some of what we talked about in that state of relaxation. Now, what does play look like? Now, what does play feel like? Now, where can you play? Because I guarantee, just if you lean into that for even a couple minutes, at the end of this podcast, we'll always play that little tone for a few minutes of centering and relaxation. Really, this time, I encourage you to focus on just relaxing the body. And then when you come out of that kind of meditative trance, what does play look like? Like, I'm getting chills just thinking about it because my body's already like auto, like jumping into this. It's like, yes, Dave, like, yeah, let's relax. Let's totally zen for a few minutes. Now, what does play look like? Or where can play show up? And to me, that just creates this space of possibility. I'd really love to hear from people. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but in the comments, where does play show up for you? Is it more of a mental thing or is it more of a physical thing? When you lean into the physicality of it and kind of release that stress, does play show up differently? Is it easier for you to lean into? Is it harder? And so I'd love to hear some feedback on that. And or if it shows up differently for you, you know, I brought up that there's three centers, the heart, gut, and mind. How can you lean into play in the heart? Maybe that's honoring your inner child. Maybe that's doing something your inner kid loved to do and that you don't do anymore. Yeah,
and I've got, with Dave leaning into the body and everything, I've got a very practical shadow play that you can do a lot, especially if you drive a car any distance. So here's the play. When you're driving on the road, I want you to get in your body and then put every other driver you're with on your team. So you're all cooperating. It doesn't matter what mood they're in or how quickly you need to be there. The goal of driving somewhere is we're all on the same team and we're all trying to get where we need to go. Put that focus in. When you sit in the car, you're not competing. You're not jockeying. You don't need to get there before they do. Our goal is everybody gets there safely without an accident or interfering. And if somebody needs to go faster and they cut you off, you can make a generous assumption that maybe their kid got hurt at school or anything. They need to move and they're worried about somebody. And by being in that shadow play, we're on the same team. Go ahead, get in line. We're good. We're all going the same way. We're all going to get there together. And this is just the start. And it's hard because we're so used to like, don't let that guy in. He's going to pass me, you know, or whatever. And it doesn't need to be that. It's like, yeah, we're on the same team. Go ahead. Maybe I'll pass you later. Take that left. You know, we're just trying to be more allowing of each other. And it gets back into our humanity, which is our goal, to celebrate our humanity. And driving on the road is being on the same team. Unless it's demolition derby, it's not a competition.
Well, and even if it was a demolition derby, those guys are having fun breaking those cars.
Yeah.
I feel like the competition isn't more who's going to win, but who can smash up their car the most. Like, you know, like it's just that.
They'll have their car. Like, my car made it.
I love demolition derbies. It's the only reason I felt like I was like, I love those. Those are fun games. And it's kind of funny that you talk about allowing, because when you sit in that space of allowing and everyone's trying to get to kind of the same goal, this brings to mind something else to me. It brings to mind the finite versus infinite game concept. So for our audience, let me back up a minute. There is a author named James Carse who wrote a book on the infinite game. And his work kind of became even more public or more popular with Simon Sinek and talking about purpose and why. And he even wrote a book about the infinite game. And there's this concept of there's a finite game and an infinite game. And the finite game is talked about with James Carse in the sense of there's always a winner and a loser, right? There's an outcome where someone is a little bit ahead and someone's a little bit further behind. And if you extrapolate kind of that idea as a game, you might think of things like football or soccer or something where there's a clear set of defined rules and definitions. There's a clear victor at the end and a clear loser at the end. And
Yeah, and everybody agrees on the same rules, their boundaries, time frames. The players only play because they want to play. You know, they can't play if somebody's like forcing them. It's not a game anymore. Yeah. And then you've got the infinite game.
Right. And the infinite game is what came to mind when you talked about the allowance, because the infinite game is a game of allowance. It is a game of, it's kind of the exact opposite. There aren't necessarily set rules or time frames or even set players. A great example of the infinite game is kind of what we've been talking about all along, like playing on the playground, like the pirate ship, going way back to that at the beginning of the podcast. There weren't set rules per se. If we decided we wanted to go from pirates to space pirates or astronauts, or, you know, we wanted to play as dinosaurs, there was a flow there. It was kind of still on the playground, but there wasn't this idea that there was a set winner or loser in this game. There wasn't even a set rule or time frame. Usually the set was, and I put set in air quotes for those that can't see, usually the set was, okay, it's 8 p.m. and it's curfew time and it's dark outside and we have to go in. And usually the play continued there, right? Or maybe it was 5 p.m. and Dave had to go to his swim team practice or go eat dinner and Kevin just got out of cello practice or piano practice for the day. And so he's coming into the game and there's this flow of kids and the game continues. And maybe Dave was the one that decided to start the game. But if Dave leaves and the kids keep playing, that is the infinite game. That is the game of allowance. That is the ability to, I didn't say, hey, I'm leaving so you guys can't play this game anymore. In fact, usually I felt pretty good if they kept playing the same game because it was like, oh, cool, I came up with the fun idea of the, you know, the Saturday afternoon or whatever it was. And so really this infinite game is this ability to play with the imagination and to keep the almost, if there is a goal or objective, keep that objective moving because you almost don't want the game to end because it's fun. I think they talk about even in the book, James talks about like playing with Legos or building forts or, you know, anything that kids do, but doesn't have a clear set definition or outcome. You know, maybe they're building the fort because they want to watch a movie in the fort. But I mean, I remember even as a kid, I'd build the fort and that would take, I don't know, hours sometimes because leaning into that sincere and serious energy as a kid, my work was my play. And I was very much going to build the best fort or the biggest fort or the most encompassing fort that I could, the biggest fort I could. Or maybe I'd build the biggest and then my friend would come over and he's like, oh, well, what if we move the pillows a little bit this way? Or what if we put the blanket up here and then, you know, that opens up space and then someone can lay this way. And that play, then we forgot that we were building the fort to watch the movie because 6 hours have gone by and we're still trying to figure out how we want to build the fort or what that fort looks like. Again, talking about how it's an infinite game and a flow of players, I started building the fort. And then even in my example, I talked about someone else coming into the game and they could. It's not like Monopoly where once you're 3 turns in, no one else can join. I mean, even if you're 1 turn in, no one else can join, right? But it's this idea that if there is a boundary within the infinite game, it's one that you've set to create a context, but that doesn't mean it's the limit. It's just a way to, for example, building a fort isn't the same as playing with Legos, although it could be because you can use Legos to prop up your blanket to build the fort. So
yeah, well, and I was just thinking like that fort example, if your friends were anything like my friends, you built the fort and then you went running across and like smashing it if it's pillows and there's no more fort because you're all like you've crushed it and then you got to build the fort again because that's the new game. It's like, okay, we build the fort and then we like do flips onto it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just, again, that's why this came to mind because it's, no one's trying to get ahead in building the fort. No one's trying to like outcompete building forts. And even if you did have a fort building competition, which we never did, it's still just fun. Like there's this sense of, okay, this is the game we're playing right now. But there doesn't have to be a winner or a loser. There doesn't have to be this sense of competition. Again, I really like this word. It goes back to this idea of cooperation. And those kids are working and playing. It's work to build a fort. It is work to build a fort. As a parent, I can say it is work to build a fort, right? I didn't think about that as a kid. Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, my gosh, now I got to make sure all these blankets are cleaned after. Or, you know, I got to reset the house because we're having guests over. That's where the adult serious energy comes from. That's not living in the moment. That's not a master of living. That is a master of right and wrong and, you know, set definition and competition. And
yeah, remember the spoonful of sugar. Even cleaning up can be fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, how do you lean into that energy of fun? And so the next time your kid wants to build a fort or the next time, you know, they want to play with Legos. Like, I mean, my daughter who's 13, 14 now, she still plays with like that's something that she still likes to do. And I love that because that's still building creativity. That's still, there's no end to it. Even as an adult, if it's late at night and I've worked all day and I'm tired and I like there to be an end to it, there's no end to it. And so you have to lean into the play and just have fun with it. And then when you do, again, from the outside looking in, they shouldn't be able to know whether it's work or it's almost like the outside perspective in the quote is a kid's perspective. The kid shouldn't know whether it's work or play because to them it's both. Their play, like you said, is their work. It's as you're building, as you're putting that stuff together, that is the play. And I think talking about that paradigm shift, that's what kind of gets missed. We've had to separate it out because you have to go to work to get the job, to get the money, to pay the bills. And it's like this domino effect of this is the expectation so that you can do all these things and you instantly take the play out of it. But what if you could bring the play in and still keep that seriousness? You know, you still have responsibilities as an adult. I don't want people to think that we're just like being flippant about it, like you said earlier. So how can you inject, you know, using that curiosity that I love to do, ask the question, where can I inject the curiosity? Where can I inject the creativity? Where can I inject the play into what I'm doing? Making a podcast like we're doing right now could be considered work. I mean, with the show notes and the editing and stuff, and that's a lot of work. And
it's so fun.
Exactly. I was going to say,
it's totally fun.
Exactly. From the outside looking in, it looks like play. Mm-hmm. And it's play for me too. Like I have so much fun doing this. And I could see it as work or I could see it as play. And the only difference in that paradigm is me, is my shadow that I'm casting inwards. And here's the beautiful thing. If I decide 10 minutes ago that this was work, okay, and I catch that, choose again. Choose play this time. What does it look like now if I want to play? And I'm not saying that this is easy. Trust me. Like sometimes learning to play is the work. Learning how to make something play is the work. And How can that improve your life? How can that be of benefit to you? Because I guarantee, especially leaning into that example as the parent or even as someone in business, when you lean into the play, that casts a very long shadow outwards. And people notice that and people react to that, whether they do it consciously or not. Two examples real quick. If I'm playing with my daughter with Legos and it's work to me and I'm all serious about it and I'm like trying to construct a house or whatever and she's over there trying to role play with two different like little Lego figures, I'm missing the play. But if I shift my mindset, I'm like, oh, like let's put them in this little house. And then, you know, we're playing together. That creates a very cooperative and playful energy.
Yeah. How do I build an airplane for our characters to fly to another country? And then you can make it educational too and be like, okay, where is Peru? You know, and you could get a map out and all of a sudden that's the play and they don't even know. And doing this as an adult. So we have the driving exercise where you're in your car and that's an infinite game. Some cars are coming in, some cars are going off. You're leaving the game, you're joining the game. That's one of them. How can you do that sincerely? Keep it important because you don't want cars to touch. That's bad. That's not something you want. And still enjoy it. And then the next piece is even in my discipline with my son, it's sincere. I mean it. There are things that need to be done. But the energy within my body, which Dave was speaking about, is not that of anger. It's understanding that he has to make mistakes before he can learn something. And if I just go at him with anger, then he'll stop making mistakes. He'll stop being creative. He'll start trying. He'll try to stay in a lane. So I want to be sincere. I want him to know it's important. And there's a way to go about it where it's not serious work. It's sincere. I tease him sometimes when I'm upset with him, like, how come your laundry is not in your basket? It's half an inch away. Put it in the basket now. This is not negotiable. I'm being very sincere and I mean it. So you can be playful and still have authority So don't think that once you get playful, you just have to be an idiot about it or not care, throw it to the wind. No, it's deeply caring. And that's a big part of it. Caring, sincerity. If you don't care, then it's, I think that's sometimes where work becomes work, because we're thinking about the outcome of money and we don't care about the job at all. We're just doing it because we want the outcome of money. But once you start to sincerely care about the work you're doing, people respond to you differently. Your coworkers, you know, some bosses you're never going to get around. But if you sincerely care about the effort you're putting in and your own inner impeccability, it becomes lighter and you care and you give to those around you and you set boundaries. And that's the play we're talking about. This is adult mature play, you know, and it has maturity. There's an energy to it. And yeah, we act like total nerds, but when we really get down to it and we're in living, when Dave's at work, he's not off the handle flippant. He's sincere and he cares and he wants his team to succeed and he's enjoying his work because he's giving it out and it's useful. And when I discipline my son and we're engaged, it's because I care and because I want his life to go well and so that he has skills to move, not because he did something wrong. Yeah. He did something wrong because that's how you learn stuff. You're going to make mistakes. How do I impart how that lesson needs to be learned?
Oh my gosh. And you just hit on it again, celebrating our humanity. Humanity is imperfect. We are fallible to make mistakes. It's not saying celebrating our humanity does not mean we're perfect. It means leaning into when we do those things, how do we learn from it? Right?
Exactly.
Win or learn, never lose. That's really where the play is for me, at least.
Yeah, I think we've covered pretty much all of it. I mean, I think we could ramble and come up with more examples, but listener audience, it's your turn.
Yes.
We've given examples. Can you find sincere, caring examples where you're playful? Share them with us. We want to hear how you, just like Dave said, you're going to have a different way of being playful. Share it with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Like Jen said, we'd love to hear from you and we'd love to know, you know, just examples of where you lean into this sincere or serious energy, where that shows up for you. You know, how do you see work versus play and mastering this art of living, like in the quote we shared? Is there anything else you wanted to add, Jen, before we close it up?
I think that's it. All right. Until next time.
Yeah, and make sure you like, comment, subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you're listening to our podcast. We look forward to hearing from you next time.